You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Downloadable audio episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found in the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. We are locally underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Tara Ingalls, the owner of Tingles Graphic Design. Tara has been on the show, I don't know, it seems like 500 years ago. It was probably 3 years ago.
We lost a whole decade during 2020.
We aged, at least. So, Tara, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, I'm excited. Your business survived pandemic, right?
Survived and flourished, yeah.
Right along, high fives right there. Mm-hmm. So when you were interviewed on here a few years ago, well, let's just back up a step. How did the pandemic treat you, I guess, business-wise?
So, actually, I was just interviewed by Park Bank. We just switched banks, and they wanted to do a story on, they do a story on all new businesses. And one of the questions they asked was, what are you most proud of in your business? And actually, I would have to say the way that our company survived the pandemic was definitely
nice. All right.
So, you know, we all went home on that Friday with the potential that we might not come back to work on Monday, or if we did, you know, we'd already talked to our IT firm about getting us remote. And so we staged the comeback on that Monday, the 16th, I think it was. Everybody came, got their computers, went home and everything. And within minutes or hours, we were up and running and on Zoom together talking about projects and stuff. So 2020 was my 20th year in business, so thanks a lot, COVID.
20th?
20th.
Holy jolly.
So
high five there.
I made that really easy for my husband, because we got married then, and that's when I started my business.
Just maintain.
Yeah, so, you know, I had been speaking kind of all up until the pandemic. I had actually just spoke to Middleton Chamber 2 weeks prior to the pandemic, and, you know, we had a boatload of business come in for that. So we had customers, we had business, we had customers that were you know, relying us to get that work done. And so we had to, you know, to get up and running pretty quickly. So our IT guy, you know, got us all up and running, remoted in. We only had one employee that had connectivity issues. But, you know, it was scary. It's really scary. Like, we had no idea. The first week we were like, what's going on? We, you know, like nobody knew what was going on. And I kind of just embraced my core values of kind of how we run the business and how I am as a person. And all I really cared about was how people were doing. I was, you know, how are you mentally? How are you physically? Mm-hmm. What are your husbands doing? How are your kids doing? You know, and that's really what we led with every day, was kind of a check-in mentally and physically, making sure everyone was safe. Yeah. And I think by that, we just became closer as a unit, closer as friends, and just created sort of this collaborative, supportive nature that when we came back from the pandemic has just sort of been there, and really is what drives, I feel like, productivity, client relations, everything like that. So I'm really proud of the culture that we created during the, you know, the pandemic. We had played spoons and we were doing all that kind of stuff that we love doing as part of our culture. And when we got that like ripped out from underneath us, it was like, how are we going to stay connected over a screen? And so we found some like Cards Against Humanity things that you could do online. We would play Pictionary online, and like Zoom was just sort of in its, not its infancy, it was around for a while, but you know, getting to know the whiteboarding and the breakout mm-hmm. rooms and all that stuff. So just checking in every single day. We did Zoom every day together for at least a half an hour just to kind of check in and see how things were going. I was on every Zoom that I could possibly get invited to learn about, what does this do? You know, what is a pandemic? What is it? What does mm-hmm. it do to businesses? And, you know, just kind of like the same 2008, 2009 recession that everyone went in, we just stayed active. We just stayed continuously open to new business. A lot of my competitors, I was going out to their websites, just checking to see what are they doing to help their customers. And a lot of them just went dark. Like, just didn't put anything on their homepage, nothing on their social media. And so through that, I think people just, they weren't getting their questions answered. They weren't getting any service. And so we started talking to not only our clients, but new business, saying, hey, you know, I need to let my clients know that we have curbside, that we are revamping our ordering, if it was hospitality or whatever. And Tingles has done we've done hundreds of brands. And so, like, we have clients that went dark. We have clients that were like, no, we are first responders. We are, what are they called? Frontliners.
Frontline,
you know, that we need to get the word out and stuff. And so we just sort of started offering website edits for free. We're like, hey, do you need edits? Let's get your edits done. We'll worry about billing later. We offered website design, no payments for 90 days. We had a lot of new business websites come in. Yeah, that year, our Squarespace product just ballooned. I think we did over 100 websites that first year, you know, 2, 3, 4 a month, helping people get up and get going.
Holy
and stuff.
Cow.
So, yeah, it was a very weird, booming time. 2020, we did fine financially as a business. We grew. 2021 kind of went down a little bit, and now I feel like we're kind of ramping back up. And
all right.
I don't know. It's hard to... Sure. To really attribute it really to any one thing other than just solidifying ourselves as our team. You know, the PPP loans that came through were really financially helpful to the business, to the employees that we had on staff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened.
Nice. Yeah. You touched on a lot of stuff there. First, yeah. I want to say it's super awesome that you play Cards Against Humanity with your crew.
I know. The one we found online was a little more PC than the one you actually can buy in a store, but
it's still pretty awesome.
It is pretty. I mean, playing games in general, team building is a huge component of my company. I'm a very lighthearted person. I feel like the more fun you can have at work, the more you're going to want to go and the more you're going to want to stay. And, you know, our Spoons tournament that we do twice a year, we do one for March Madness, was actually going to happen 2 weeks after the pandemic. And people were like, you're going to still have it? And we're like, no, we're not going to have it. So we're bringing Spooky Spoons back for Halloween.
Oh.
We're going to do it the week before Halloween is on a Monday. So that it's a Spoons tournament. So if you've never played Spoons before, I mean, people are like, I haven't played Spoons since I was a kid. Well, it's really fun. And there's no skill involved except maybe quick reflexes. But yeah, playing games is just part of our culture and kind of who we are as a company. I put a very high value on low stress work environments, and I love that about our company is that they put up with my antics. So,
nice.
It's fun. Yeah.
No, culture of business is tough.
Yeah. And I think really, you know, right now in this hiring, one of the things we're telling people is when we're doing website design for them is that if you have a careers page, that's great. You need to put your jobs out there, but you need to be talking about what it's like to work there for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the culture like? What do the employees do outside of work to build the community? What do they do to build each other? What do they do for professional development? Like, what does work-life balance mean? What is flexible? You have to define all that stuff now because people are very picky about where they want to work based on how they were treated during the pandemic, I believe. And so if you have a website and you do have a careers page, I really would encourage you to put photos out there, something visual so people can see what you're doing, what the, you know, what it's like. Get employees to write testimonials of what they love most about working there.
Oh, that's a great
idea. If
you
get that out on video, even better. But you know, asking them what they love might not even be the work. Maybe it's the work environment. Maybe it's their desk. It has a window. Maybe it's, you know, that someone brings cookies in on Friday. I don't know what it is, but I think that there is less, I don't want to say there's less importance on what people do for a living, but how they do it, where they do it, who they do it with after the pandemic is like, it's so important because people want to love what they do because they had this glimpse of like, you know, being in a work environment that, well, I don't know. Everybody went through the pandemic. I mean, you could have two completely similar families, even in the same jobs, and everybody was in the same storm on different boats. Like, it was, like,
totally
really hard to really have a connect. Even our best friends who we've done life with for 20 years were dealing with all kinds of different stuff than we were dealing with. So it's really hard to say what worked or what didn't work. But I think people really evaluated their work life and whether or not they were happy where they were. And you know, we did a ton of startup work and consulting work during the pandemic. People who were let go from their jobs that were like, hey, I'm going to start my own jam and do their own thing. So that was really fun. And, and you know, people love what they do, but they didn't like where they did it or they didn't like the people they did with. So that was really fun. We love doing startup work. That's like our bread and butter. And I think what gets me out of bed and gives me the most joy for sure.
It is fun working with startups.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they just have the most passion. That nonprofit work, I mean, they're the most passionate for what they do. They know exactly who their target audience is. They know, you know, those kinds of things are really important to even get 501c3 status. So they have to have application stuff done. But yeah, those are our two main, Those are our two main people we work with.
Nice.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's interesting talking about the pandemic and different boats in the same storm.
Yeah.
I mean, I had employees that just went, I would say mentally, were mentally challenged.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just watch the news too much is what it came down to.
Yeah, well, I think that happened to a lot of people. We started a campaign called Radiate Positivity, which we've still continued to this day, which was every week or twice a week, we would put out something positive. That was literally just
all right.
Something uplifting because there was so much doomsday stuff on Facebook that
yeah.
We're like, let's be a light. Let's be yeah. Some sort of positive thing for people to follow, like, check, share, whatever. Our Facebook grew immensely from just a little campaign like that.
Really?
Eventually, yeah, just people were like, well, Tingles is, they're hopeful over here. I'm going to follow them and follow their stuff. I mean, we don't use Facebook for sales. We use it for culture posts and unboxing of new stuff when it comes back from press. It's not like a real salesy type thing for us. We try to make it more of a
sure,
more of a fun kind of
thing. Right, I get it, because I guess Facebook from my perspective is more checking on a company to see where they're at.
Yeah, like relational marketing. I mean, Tingles has really built its entire foundation on relationship marketing and building relationships and understanding our clients' needs from more of a not what can I push towards them and what can I sell, but what do you need? Like, what can I do to help you and what are your pain points and things like that? So,
yeah,
I would say, I mean, we just, Facebook is something it's a platform I'm comfortable with. And since I don't manage all of our social media, but I do a big chunk of it. We actually have Sarah on our staff right now that's really taken the lead with that and made calendars and things like that, which is really, really helpful when it comes to social media. But I'm not comfortable on things like TikTok and Snap. Chat, whatever. My dad calls it Snap Talk. I'm like, Snapchat, TikTok, or he'll call it the face. What does he call it? The Insta Face or something. He just doesn't know.
It's I call it Face Space.
Face Space. But I'm comfortable on that. And so it's like, and part of our target market is people my age, people in their 20s.
People that don't TikTok.
people that don't do the TikTok. But I have a law firm that has embraced TikTok. They're younger millennials in this law firm, and they're using it to reach people. I mean, that's definitely where you want to do an audit on whether or not your people are actually there. But, I mean, the other thing that we're doing with Facebook is if we have a job, I want them to see what it's like to work here.
Mm.
And Facebook is the best place. That and Instagram are kind of the best places for people to see that and get to know us from that standpoint. But also clients, like, they do check out Facebook and, like, what are these people, what are they like, what are they doing to support the community, those kinds of things. So how many reviews do they have?
Sure.
That kind of stuff.
But yeah, social media stuff is quite the rabbit hole, I guess.
I was just listening to a podcast on the way here, a gentleman named Rob Dial that I've started following called The Mindset Mentor. I think you and I talked about this when we had lunch. And he was talking about how, your reality will create, like, you create your own reality. And if you're tuning into the wrong channel, like, that is what is your reality. And he was like, if you're on social media and you engage in things that are negative or you have reactions, your Facebook is like, oh, she likes that. I'm going to show her more.
Here's the algorithm.
Yeah, I'm going to show her more of that versus if you, like, tune into a bunch of Facebook pages that are talking about positive things or who are uplifting or whatever, Facebook is like, oh, I'm going to show her more of that. So it's kind of like tuning into whichever is going to give you, that reality, that channel. It's an interesting concept. I'd never thought about that before, but
it is, yeah, the whole thing is it's not the facts, it's your reaction to the facts.
Right, right.
And I guess from my standpoint through the pandemic, as you would read or listen to what was going on and what we were told had to happen, you can't be in your office, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was a chess game. I still feel like it's a chess game.
Yeah.
An infinite, right? Yeah. Never ending.
I just can't believe we're still going through this. I know more people getting COVID and out of work than I did during 2020, honestly. I mean, people were home and, the stay-at-home thing obviously prevented people from getting because they were home. But, like, I still feel like so many people are missing work and, having to stay home even when they get it because there are people out there that haven't got it yet and or who have potential medical issues that couldn't get the vaccines, et cetera. But, so it's definitely still rampant, and it's just, it sucks.
Rampant or just around?
I don't know, I feel like every single week I meet someone who's either had it or recently getting over it. Like,
oh, really?
Every,
okay.
Oh, yeah, big time.
All right.
I mean, I'm on the sidelines watching my kids play soccer, so, I mean, there's a lot of talk about it. A lot of parents there, so I get around parents a lot. But it's
sure.
like, yeah, you know, when you hear about a whole family. I just met a gentleman who went to a wedding. He had it unbeknownst to him and gave it to his entire family, including his.
Thanks, guy.
I know. And, you know, he said it and it was kind of laissez-faire about it. And I'm like, oh, my God, a wedding? There's older people there. There's, you
sure.
know. You know, of course, he didn't know you. That's just the thing. You don't know you have it. And a lot of people are. I don't know. It's crazy.
Nobody knows. We still don't know.
We still don't know.
Go about your business. Move on with your life.
Well, you try.
That's my perspective, but that's not necessarily the shared perspective. As far as that goes, I don't know.
Well, you have to live life, and you have to get over it or through. The only way to get over it is to get through it, right? So it's like you have to accept that it's here if you haven't already, and then like learn to live with the new normal. Everyone talks about the new normal.
Right. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard that since I heard the word pivot.
Oh, pivot. True. I mean, but one thing we could talk about the pandemic all day, but I mean, the silver linings that have come out of the pandemic have been pretty amazing on so many different, you know, levels, emotionally, environmentally, relationally, whatever they are. But like, we have a work at home policy now at Tingles that if you want to work from home, you can work from home. You
all
don't
right.
have to have an excuse per se of why you want to work home. Most people are like, oh, my child is sick or I have to take my dog to the vet or whatever. But my employees tend to be more productive when they work at home because there's not the distractions
right.
of being in the office. When we were working from home, people were more productive and billed more hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that was. I mean, probably because they didn't have all the interruptions and the social, you know, issues or whatever going on in the office. But so if they want to work from home and that's where the headspace is for them that day, they can. And I'm fine with that. But, you know, that's not going to work for everyone. Not everyone can. My best friend owns Need a Relief Day Spa. She's not, you know, they can't do massage from home.
No.
So, like, if someone has COVID, they're over
Zoom,
for 2 weeks.
Right?
Yeah,
how does that feel? Too
they're
much?
Offered to touch yourself. No, it's not going to work. So doesn't work for every profession. But, I mean, for those professions that it can, you know, I think it offers that work-life balance. Again, it just gives my staff something really awesome that maybe other people can't offer.
Sure.
I don't know.
Let me shift gears to something more black and white, I guess. The work from home thing when you want,
mm-hmm.
how do you even work that with technology that you guys have? Because I can see, I got a laptop, I'm checking email, no big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got Photoshop on this super awesome fancy computer.
I have multiple computers. They have a computer at work and a computer at home.
Wow, okay. And was that your investment or was that
their investment? It was an investment we made because we had a team of 7 before the pandemic. And
okay.
after the pandemic, we slimmed down. And I brought on, well, due to workload, I brought on the account management. I was doing sales and account management.
Mm-hmm.
We only had 2 designers that came back. So it was just the 3 of us out of 7.
Oh, so you had
extra
equipment.
So we had extra machine, yeah.
Okay.
So they just left their machines at home, and I did buy all new computers, but I'm pretty sure that I bought those pre-pandemic. So, like, the ones they have at home, they're not super robust, but they do the job. Like, they can do, there are certain things they probably can't do. They can't do, like, super high-end illustration on those machines because they're not robust enough.
Sure.
One of them still has, you know, internet issues, so she can't do much from, she has to figure out what she can do. Either online, since we're doing so much Squarespace, that's all online, you know, so like we're building online, there's no server access necessary and stuff, but they make it work. I don't know. I mean, we do a lot of, they could do logo design, logo illustration on iPad, you know, things like that. So
really?
Yeah,
okay.
There's a lot of stuff that that they can do and still be, or they'll just take a vacation day.
Okay. There's that.
You know, there's that.
Just
I mean, the mental health is so important. And as a creative too, like, it's unrealistic. And I was with a business coach for years who was like, I don't understand your employees. They work 8 hours a day, but they're only billing 4 or 5 hours. I don't understand that. Well, he was coming from like a very non-creative industry as a business coach.
That'd be tough to bill 100%.
It would. It's insanely impossible almost, because like there are things we can't bill for. You know, we can't bill for our own creative, like, I need to go for a walk to clear my head kind of stuff. We can't
mm-hmm.
bill for that.
That'd be awesome on the invoice.
Yeah.
Walk to the park.
Went to the
what?
Walk. Yep. Took a walk around the office. Got up, stretched, you know, things, whatever it is. But as creatives, like, I was only a creative in my own company for about, I don't know, maybe about 8 years. And then I did take a step back and became more of a sales and overseer of the company. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, when I was doing design, I was billing a lot, you know, and things like that. But the design I was doing is nowhere near the creativity that we pump out now, like not even close.
All right.
And so, like, I wonder, like, how the hell did my how did my nonprofit or my little business become what it is today into this full-blown agency where, like, we're doing, you know, we're working with large firms and stuff, because it's like, you look at my portfolio and you're like, really? No, but I think, you know, 50% productivity is kind of what we shoot for, you know, in the company. And if we're really busy, they'll hit more than that and things like that. But, you know, we aim to have the best product. And sometimes that takes time, some time to do things we can't bill for, like research or sketch stuff that people just don't do.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny you mentioned the portfolio thing, because I can remember I went to school for graphic design way a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I can remember applying for a job and they asked for a portfolio and I sent it to them thinking I was just a cat's meow kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at that now and I'm like, I might as well just have given them a coloring book. Just a mess, not even in the lines.
Yep.
Like, here's my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember at the time thinking, like, why won't you hire me? I'm awesome. You look at that now and you're like, Jesus.
We did, so as part of our internship program that we have, we bring in, like, the intern can bring in her portfolio, his or her portfolio, and then the designers will look at it and give critiques and things, especially if they're still in school. And so one day we were like, let's all bring our portfolios in. And we're like, okay. So mine was in, like, the back, you know, wedged. Right. It was a giant, like, 3x4 with, like, giant boards and stuff. Everything was, like, pasted with the sticky spray.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm dating myself a little bit. But I brought it out, and, like, we're looking at it, and not only is it, like, horribly damaged from whatever rain had gotten into that basement or whatever, but, like, I'm looking at this going, I showed people this. I got business from this.
This is my kids. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you have to realize, like, I was self-taught. So, like, everything I learned about graphic design was taught in an insurance environment. So I was doing
insurance.
Things. Yeah, I started at WPS Health Insurance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I started doing application forms and brochures, and, like, I had 3 colors and 2 fonts to choose from. So, like, that's why I became a freelancer, because I was bored. I was, like, so bored. But yeah, so I started in that environment and learned the software that way. And, like, anytime we would get thrown a bone, like, hey, there's a Christmas party, I'm like, can I take it? Can I design it? I'll do that. But, you know, I'm looking at this portfolio and I'm just like, oh my God, it's so bad. And then I look at, you know, I eventually threw it away because I was like, this is just something that's not servicing me anymore by having this around. Yeah.
It was, oh, that's funny.
It was very, like, yeah, cathartic.
My wife and I were just talking about my portfolio from college.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I think it's time to throw that away.
You know what I also have are all my rejection letters from when I got out of college, when I was trying to get into the, you know, get into design and get into that kind of thing. And they would look at my portfolio or even just what I did in school, and they're like, what can you do for us? And I'm like, I can learn.
Sure.
That's what I can do. And, you know, that, and those people now are my competition, you know, the few that are still in business, those agencies that are still in business. And so I have those still. I probably should get rid of those too, because it's
sad. I don't know if it's a motivator.
I guess it's a motivator, but yeah. Kind of stumbled across those and we moved.
Maybe the portfolio is not so much motivated. Not in my world, anyways.
I don't know.
It was, but that ship has sailed.
Yeah,
for interesting.
Sure. For sure.
So tell me, let's talk marketing, because businesses need to do that.
Yes.
Should do that.
Yes. So I have been doing a lot of talking to people, a lot of startups. The SCORE mentors bring me in. If you're not familiar with SCORE, check out SCORE Madison. I'll give them a plug. They are free consulting for really anything about your business. Just phenomenal resource that Madison has.
Yeah, great group.
Yeah, as well as the Small Business Development Center, SBDC, through the University of Wisconsin Business. I'm speaking to them as well. And what they are, like, hearing is people want to know about, like, well, besides, like, social media, they're overwhelmed with all of the different places that they should be marketing, or that they're being told that they should.
Yeah, it's not just Yellow Pages in the local newspaper, right?
Nope, and it's not. And, you know, I need to create this graphic one day that's going to be, like, this giant umbrella that shows all of the lanes. It's like saying, like, it's like saying you're a doctor. Like, if someone's like, oh, I do marketing, it's like I'm a doctor. You know,
sure.
It's like, what do you specialize in? What's the age category? No, so like Tingles is really solid in the branding, graphic design, website design lane. We're very good there. But we have partners in videography, photography, business coaching, whatever else our clients might need. But marketing is this gigantic umbrella of myriads of different possibilities to spend your dollar. Mm-hmm. And every single one of those lanes will give justification why you need to go with them. They all do.
Oh,
even traditional marketing.
Sure.
You know, it's like, oh, you work there and your clients are over here. Well, you should do billboard advertising. Or, oh, your clientele is females. You should be in Bravo magazine. Mm-hmm. Now, there are definitely time and place for traditional based marketing. And don't get me wrong at all, because I do have clients that do traditional marketing. But with the onset and popularity of social media and even doing direct mail through the United States Postal Service, there are really great ways you can do low-cost, very targeted mm-hmm. marketing. And so what I'm doing in my coaching and speaking arm of my business is I'm talking to businesses about creating targeted personas. So instead of saying let's say I am, my friend Nicole owns Senior Relief. Let's use her as an example. I'm looking for, you know, overworked moms who... So normally the demographic information is I'm looking for women between the ages of 35 and 45 that work 40 hours a week, that live in Fitchburg, because that's where her spa is, who have 2.3 kids. And that's usually what the demographic, that's where it would end. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to teach clients is that there's all this psychological, like psychographic information, like what are they struggling with? Like, what can you solve for them? Mm. And getting my clients to really think about those kinds of things instead of just females, because you can create more strategic messaging around those pain points to help grab people emotionally. And that's what you have to do in marketing nowadays. You have to grab them on an emotional level. So once you have like your personas and you have these, and there's usually more than one, people have... always have more than one persona, because there's more than one, you know, a business, even if a business is like a massage therapy like she does, she's got, you know, people who might come there looking for a job. So that's another persona that they're targeting with their marketing.
All right.
They might be looking to do a story on current esthetician trends. A magazine might be going to that website or whatever. So like, you have to think about all those people that might be interacting with your brand and create these different personas. So that's like the first thing that I would do with your business, is really identify who they are, not only geographically and demographically, but then also what are the needs that you can help them with. And then the thing that I brought in today to talk about is what I call Tingles 4 P's. So differentiation in the marketplace is what branding is all about. And whenever I go speak somewhere, I'll say to the group, how many of you, or raise your hand if you have great customer service. And everyone in the room raises their hand. And then And then how many of you have, exceptional friendly staff that answer the phone? And they all raise their hand. And then do you have affordable prices? And they say, yeah. Those are the top three things that people tell me that are about their business: the great customer service, friendly staff, and the affordable pricing. If everybody's saying that, you're not different.
Yeah, you're commoditized.
Right. So what I did is develop these like 4 P's and kind of breaking people's companies down into these 4 P's, and we'll go over them really quickly, of like how they are different in the marketplace. And when you're brainstorming these things, if somebody else does it, it's not a differentiation point unless you can put a spin on it. Right?
All right.
So the first one's people. So like, what skills, ongoing education, what do your people have that other employees don't have? Maybe it's longevity in the company, maybe combined skills, you know, bring a broader base of service opportunities with one-stop shopping, you know, whatever that is. So like, thinking about your people, how long have they been in the industry? Are they empowered to make customer-centric decisions so you don't have to wait forever to get an answer? Can they do... are they cross-trained? Are they cross-promoted in, you know, whatever the company does so that you don't have to wait for a call?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, thinking about your people and what do they bring to the table? And you might not even know what – like, I did this exercise with my team, and one of the things that they brought to the table is that they all worked in customer service-related industries prior to working for me.
Oh, and you didn't know that?
I didn't know. I didn't think of that as an asset. But then when you, like, think about it, it's like one of them worked in a hotel – One of them worked in a veterinary clinic. So, mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about working with people, you know, and customer complaints.
It's a safe place. You can use the word dealing.
Yeah. Okay, dealing with people. You know, when you're dealing with customer complaints, like, how do you manage that? You know, you acknowledge the frustration and then you try to make it right or, you know, whatever it is. If people don't have those soft skills with people and you have to train that before you can train their graphic design skills.
Very tough to train.
It's hard to train. Like, my mentality at Tingles is train personality first. I can train their skills. Hire for personality, train for skills. Right.
Yeah. So, because training a personality, I'm like, whoa.
No, that's not what I meant. But like hiring somebody because they have good rapport, they're going to fit in the culture, they are a good person, you know, they're dependable, whatever that is. But like, that's always been my mentality with hiring people. Because if you bring if you hire someone on paper and they're bad culturally, it's not going to work. But so people, culture, skills, those are kind of the first thing. The second is products. So products and services are kind of the same thing, but I was trying to stick to the four Ps, so I did products. But products and services are kind of the same bucket, right? So what features or value does your product bring that someone else doesn't? Or in another way of thinking about this is like, what does your product or service do that your competition wouldn't even think of, right? So Tingles has that 5-day turnaround. We don't know anybody that can do that kind of turnaround.
For a website or?
Homepage for a website, we can get done in a week.
Dang.
Anything we can get done in a week. We can get lots done in a week.
All right.
But yeah, if you have short-term needs, that's one of the reasons our clients love us is that dependability. So like that's one thing we know that makes us different is that product turn, that kind of thing. Is your product or service more reliable? Is it durable? Does it offer a warranty? I mean, I know warranties are really hard, especially in my line of work. I cannot guarantee that you will love our design the first pass, but I can guarantee that I will do what I can up front to make sure we gather all the details to make sure we try to hit it on the first pass, right? I mean, we don't like to do revisions either. Like, we want to get it done the right time.
Right.
So, and then, you know, maybe your product can be more easily maintained throughout its lifetime. So if you're searching for a car, maybe you choose a domestic car over, you know, something like that. So, like, thinking about your products and services in a different way that, I mean, I think that's probably the easiest one for people to do because they know they wouldn't be in business unless they knew that they had some sort of an angle or
something. Well, they believe they do, right?
Well, they believe they do, yeah. Process is the next one. So how easy is it for people to obtain, like, a quote from your company? How easy is it for them to find information about your company?
Yeah, easy as pie.
What is your onboarding for a new client? Like, that is something that I need to personally document so that I can train somebody on my team to do that. Because right now it's like, well, I write them a handwritten note and then I enter into the system and then I send them a welcome packet and I do all this stuff. But I don't have that written down. It's just something I do.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because I had a client, potential client, ask for that because they reached out to us and they're like, hey, we want some call answering services.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. You up for a phone call or Zoom so we can just bang this out?
Yeah.
And they asked for our process.
Your process for client onboarding?
For onboarding.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? You sign up, magic happens. Like, that's two-step process. And the more I thought about it, which was about 10 seconds, is like, they don't know that.
Yeah. No,
and
they
magic
don't.
Is not like, oh, we signed up for this company because magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, that's okay. In their mind, it should not be okay.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm like, we've been around 11 years, and I don't have this documented on the website.
Boom. I don't have scripts when people call on the phone either, and I tell people all the time, you should have scripts when people call for sales, and it's just like, I'm so much about, like, tell me about your company, and then I get excited about it, and then next thing I know, it's 40 minutes later, and I've given him everything. That's why I started a coaching business, because I'm like, I can't do these calls anymore, where I'm giving them everything. But, you know, that's I don't follow a script, and it's just like, I don't know, like, it's not my personality to read off a piece of paper, like, at all.
No. So I think there's also, I want to qualify.
Yeah, I want to make sure it's
because I'm like,
fit.
Are we a good
not
fit?
Not everyone needs Tingles. Yeah, for sure.
No, because then, like, I don't want to waste their time. Mm-hmm. Certainly don't want them to waste my time.
Right. Yeah.
On the flip side, or I guess in addition, one more thing, I don't know what I could put in that checklist that someone would say yes or no. Mm. Like, oh, I like your onboarding checklist.
How about that you have an onboarding checklist? Could be a
maybe.
Yes.
That's
it could
fair.
Be, you know
that's
what?
Fair.
Hey, we've been in business long enough that here's what we do to make sure that everything is taken care of.
Here's our process.
I mean, I guess we do in a roundabout way. We follow a very strategic process when we onboard for new projects, but not necessarily like when someone signs on that dotted line, like there's an execution of things that come after that, and I don't have that documented. So
I know that we do, but everything that we do is so customized that it's more of a flow chart rather than a process.
Sure. Well, but so, that's part of
so if then,
that you flow chart, that's yeah. part of the process. Just write it down. That's what you yeah. flow chart the process. Okay, your onboarding might be three steps, James, but
sure. magic still, happens.
Yep. I remember working happens. With my business coach in 2008, and he was like, even if it's three steps, it's documented and it's written down.
Like, yes.
Answering the phone, pick up the receiver is right. step number one. You know, I mean, come on, let's dumb it down.
Right?
That's step number one. Say hello, Tingles Design, how can I help you? That's step two.
All
you
right.
know, I mean, I don't know. Scripting can be really valuable. It can be a huge time saver, and it can help you from not getting off on those horrible tangents like you and I get.
Yeah, well, all the right time. Now. That's right the name of the game with entrepreneurs, right? The brain's
yep.
just going.
Yep, squirrel. all right, so back to process. Okay, so talking about onboarding and then, you know, how concise are your customers' documents, like invoices, quotes, things like that? And mm-hmm. then obviously, are you reachable after the product or service is complete? Like, what's the process after they buy? Like, how do you stay in touch with them? I gave this presentation to the Verona Chamber yesterday morning.
Nice.
And one woman told me that she has bought 23 cars from one salesperson at Zimbrick.
23?
23 cars over the span of the relationship before he retired.
Wow.
Because he kept in touch with them. He sent them birthday cards, anniversary cards. He sent them anniversary cards of when they bought their car.
Wow.
Like, he came over and did their garage button in their car because she couldn't okay. figure it out. She turned her hazards on one time on vacation and didn't know how to turn them off. He was accessible and, like, became part of their family. I mean, 23 cars with one guy. My husband's in the car business. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
And that's, you know, after the sale, right? Mm-hmm. He already got his paycheck. It's mm-hmm. not. So, I don't know. Like, what is your process? All right. So, the last one is pricing. What does the pricing reflect for the value offer? And, like, pricing is something that everybody asks for, and it's something you can't get around. And you just have to, I think you have to just be very careful how you present your pricing. So, mm-hmm. like, at Tingles, we have an hourly rate. And if I tell people what the hourly rate is, it scares them off. But if I multiply that by a number of hours and tell them that rate, that doesn't scare them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you can figure out a way to, like, present your pricing in a way that there's more value for, like, the full package of what you're getting, if you're a service-based like I am,
mm-hmm.
I think that's helpful. And then just be transparent. Are you competitive? How is your pricing model different than others? Like, I talked about that 90-day no-payment website thing. If you're a startup and you're struggling, it's the whole chicken and the egg thing, right?
Yeah.
You have to have a website to make money, but you need money to make a website.
Right.
You know, if you work with our firm, we bridge that gap, and we created that during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, do you offer financing or payment plan? Like, I don't know anybody that would say, I'm going to build and design you a $5,000 website, but you don't have to pay for it for 90 days. Tingles is big enough to float that money.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that would do that.
Well, they better pay it. I'll tell you that.
No, it's so interesting. The pricing thing is always interesting to me because from the sales training that I've had, I've learned that whenever somebody asks about price, that means that they don't necessarily know what other questions to ask. Because they don't want to sound dumb, and they don't. Someone like me, when I'm going to a place and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking for if I'm shopping for a TV or something like that. Price.
Well, because people. If I ask them what their budget is or what is your price, they typically say, well, I'm not going to tell you because then.
Oh, you're gonna, they don't want to tell
you'll
you.
They'll make my website that
yes,
price.
Yes, it's $5,000. We're $4.99.
But, you know, I mean, like, I think it's important to. So then I feel compelled to tell them, well, this is our price. It's not my fault that you can't afford it. But
sure.
This is my price. Like, somebody told me that once. They're like, stop feeling bad mm-hmm. for what your price is. It is what it is if they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, yes and no. Like, we have ways of, like, okay, if it's a brand new startup and they don't have any money to put towards their marketing, that's probably not my ideal fit, right? Because mm-hmm. they're not going to do any continual right. work. They're not going to see the value in what we can bring, and they're not going to take my suggestions to run their business better with more marketing options. So that's not my target, right? So, but it's important for me to know, like, whether someone thinks that a website's 500 or 5,000. Like, there's a big gap in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I find is that the more they call around, the more they realize, oh, Tingles was affordable. I should have, you know. So I always follow up with all my leads and make sure
okay.
that, like, if I don't hear from them,
mm-hmm.
hey, did you go somewhere else or, like, what happened? And so, like, you know, your pricing and your follow-up, is that part of your process is to follow up?
Yeah.
Like that. But I don't know. I mean, we could talk circles about pricing. I feel like we talked about price on our last podcast too because.
Probably. Well, it's interesting, especially with what you do and what I do. It's very difficult to commoditize it.
Yeah.
Because someone's like, I mean, just imagine, even I was listening to a book on CD, right? That's all
book
I am.
Book on tape.
This is book on 8-track on Leonardo. And Leonardo had a very hard time finishing the works that he was commissioned for.
Okay.
Including Mona Lisa.
Is
so
that I'm just like, why she looks like she's mad?
There's a whole oh my gosh. Okay. People spend a lot of time trying to figure out that. So I won't get into that.
Okay.
But just he's got all these works that aren't necessarily 100% complete from his perception.
Okay.
So it's funny because I'm like, if someone were to commission the Mona Lisa, they're going to call around and be like, hey, painter person, how much to paint a picture like the Mona Lisa?
Right, right.
How would a painter know what to charge for that?
No, they wouldn't.
And how would you know what to pay for that?
No, yeah. I mean, you have to shop around in order to get, I don't know.
It's perceived value, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's one of those things where you're just like, what is this worth to you? Not necessarily what the price is, right?
Right.
Because if I can say, hey, I got this hobby business. I want a new logo. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hey, you know, a new logo is only $50,000. And they're like, you know what? This is a hobby business. But if Pepsi comes to you and says, hey, we want a new logo. And you're like, $50,000.
Right.
Well, what is that? That's like a minute's worth of people buying Pepsi. So, yeah. Here's the cash. Here's the bag of money kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really perception of value, what it's worth to the...
It is a percept, but it's also like when you go to my website and you look at my work, you know, I like to say to people, do you really think that that website costs that company $500? You know, like...
Right.
I don't... It is hard, and it... I don't
know. If you're competing with some kid in their basement...
Yeah, and that's who I compete against. Tingleson like is like in this really weird niche that 22 years in business... We're still seen as this freelancer.
Oh.
You know, I actually lost work recently because I didn't have enough people on staff.
Really?
Yeah, I lost it to an agency that had more people. And I'm like, okay, you want to pay more overhead by having three people between you and the designer? Yeah. Awesome. You do you.
Right.
Like, that's not the type of clients that we work with. Our clients are like, love the fact that they can call their designer and talk to them on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, so we lost business because of that. And I was really sad about it, and I really thought about it, and I was like, you know what, Terry? You can't be sad about something you didn't have. Like, I didn't have the business and then lost it.
You can't lose what you didn't have.
Right. So I was just like, again, like this, and I want to follow up with them in 6 months and be like, I hope you're happy.
We're still waiting to hear back from the designer.
Yeah, oh gosh, it happens all the time. But, you know, I love some of my favorite memes online are the ones of, like, the tattoo artists, right?
All
right. Where it's like somebody brings in like a unicorn, right? And they're like, I want this unicorn tattoo. And it's a picture of a unicorn. And the guy ends up writing, like literally drawing Gumbo or Gumby.
Gumby
the donkey. Sure. Yeah. The horse guy. The horse from Gumby.
Yep.
And it's like somebody can always do it for cheaper.
Sure.
Like that's totally true.
Mm-hmm.
There are websites out there that you can get logos at and, you know, pick your own icon out of a hat and hope that the landscaping company next door doesn't have the same icon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is always going to be somebody that's going to be cheaper than me. And it's just kind of staying true to our core values of people who value good design, are willing to pay for it, and willing to understand the creative process that goes into it. And I just, you know, I've been business for 22 years, 1,200 brands we've worked on, and there's no shortage of people who value that because mm-hmm. just like they value an attorney to review a document for them,
right?
They pay that attorney $250 an hour, or their CPA to do their taxes, they pay $2,500 a year for that.
Yeah, I always say
there's value in getting it done right, yeah. Right? And hiring a professional.
Nobody uses a coupon for LASIK, right? Or they shouldn't.
No, right? Buy one eye, get one eye.
Yeah, right.
That's so true. And I don't know why marketing for some reason is like, I can do it. I can do it myself. It's okay.
It's out. Perception of value, right?
I'm already on
right?
Facebook. I can do it.
Well, the call answering thing, right? People are just like, hey, yeah. I even got this call last week from a client who's been with us for years, 8 years, I think. He's like, I got this part-time stay-at-home mom that can do just as good a job for you as you guys do. And when he said that, I laughed out loud. And I didn't mean to be rude, but it was one of those, like, can't she really?
Yeah, really?
You just got five screaming kids.
Yeah.
Totally do it as good as us, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, maybe not as good as you. I'm like, okay, as long as you get that, go ahead, take a walk.
Right. Well, I mean, they have to try, though, too. Like, I mean, everybody tries to save money, and I totally get that. And, you know, we did try a portion of our business where we bundled things. We bundled logo design with business cards and a website, and it flopped, completely flopped.
Did it really?
Yeah. People, when we rolled that out, people were like, I don't want to buy the package. But then they'll buy the services individually and spend more.
Hmm.
It's like this big, when you package and you bundle, it's usually more expensive, right? Up front.
It works for fast food places, right?
Did you know Wendy's has a $5 bundle, $5 biggie bag right now? I couldn't. How do you serve $5 worth of food and a drink?
Because it costs them a dime. It ain't exactly gourmet.
I know, but I was just like, what?
Compared to their competition.
McDonald's, right? Which is $8.95 for a biggie bag. I don't
know. You know, it's funny. We just went, just way tangent, right?
Yeah.
We're just at my kids' soccer game last weekend. So some of the parents decide, hey, we're going to go out to eat, right? Celebrate the little championship, whatever.
Yeah.
So we're talking about going to some fast food place. But I'm like, that place is gross and it's expensive. So we end up going to this Irish bar. Same amount of money, some of the best food I've ever had.
Yeah.
Well. And it's kind of funny because we're joking about it. Like, if we take a quarter of this plate, that would have been what we got.
Yeah, yeah.
We wouldn't have had the cool ambiance of the restaurant.
And it was probably a chain, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like, not you're paying for almost literally garbage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this place, you're like, way more memorable.
Fresh food.
Way better. I don't know if I'm going to say necessarily better for you because it's still restaurant food, yeah. Right? But this was like 20 times better experience.
That's awesome.
And the same price.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because that place, I mean, it had a few people in it, but it wasn't bustling.
Yeah.
With the fast food chain, there's a line. Mm-hmm. So it's just the price.
It's the perceived convenience of fast food.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I know.
Interesting. Do you have any more peas? Because we got a...
I meant that's it.
That's it.
Product, people, pricing, process. So
that's solid.
Take a piece of paper, quadrant it off, do the exercise. And the best part about this exercise is that every single bullet point that you put down in each one of those quadrants becomes a piece of social media content.
Oh.
So, right. So that's the best part is that once you do this exercise, you begin to understand what social media and what LinkedIn and Facebook and all these places are craving as far as content is how you're unique and different.
All right.
So that was what I built this for, was so that people could understand that, like, taking your company and breaking down into like really tiny bite-sized pieces is what builds brand recognition and credibility and things like that. Because if you can get clients to comment on any of this and give you testimonials along these
rocket ship.
Because then they're supporting what you're saying about yourself. Because when you say it about yourself, it's an opinion. But if someone else says it about you, it's a fact.
Right.
So like if you can turn those into testimonials, that's another tip.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Tara, is that...
Does it
happen to be on your website?
What?
The four P's?
Absolutely is.
Nice. What's the website?
Tingles.com. TINGALLS.com.
Perfect.
Which stands for Tara Ingalls. T. Ingalls.
Smart woman having that on the website. Look at that. Sweet. Tara, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This went crazy fast. I want to talk for another 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what happens with us.
We'll have to have you on the show again.
Yes.
There's more. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening to this on the web, please give it a thumbs up, subscribe, comment, and share.
Smash that like button.
Smash that like button, right? Don't just touch it. Don't just click it. We want smashing
that. Smash and share.
Let's see here. My name is James Cademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country. Way better than your stay-at-home mom. On the web at callsoncall.com. That's a true story.
I know.
And, of course, the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Tara Ingalls, the owner of Tingles Graphic Design. Tara, can you tell us that website one more time?
Tingles.com,
TINGALLS.com. Perfect. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.